And I don't remember the name of the bay. It's not like San Francisco Bay or something, but it's just down south, Southern Cal, SoCal.
Mm-hmm.
So 90 miles away to this big bay.
Blackwater Bay.
That's it, exactly. Brawn of the fucking Blackwater. How did he end up master a coin after he... That's so stupid.
That's funny.
I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
All right, here we go. Welcome back to the Smokescreen Podcast, episode 79.
It's pretty wild,
It's been a while. Been a little busy. New jobs and changing jobs.
Yeah, man.
I guess if you want to get into that
Pretty nuts, yeah.
But yeah, I haven't been streaming on Twitch. I mean, nothing. It's just been like, I just hate that shift, man. I just hate the schedule. I'm tired. And then you get off, and then it's like by the time you find some food and settle down, it's time to go to bed again, and it's the next thing, the same the next day. And then you sleep all day Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they can see the change in here.
Yeah,
I mean,
we'll see what happens.
Chris got him a cool desk set up over here.
You can see the desk behind me over there, but it's a stand-up desk I had to get because I'm going to be on the phones all day starting a week from now. And then I just told you the whole annual enrollment thing is going to be absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I don't know. You may not see me for 2 months.
I know. That's crazy.
But it could be big chunks of money. We'll see what happens. But anyway, we're going to jump back into some true crime. Before we're going to talk about Lacey Peterson, the whole thing, because a Netflix documentary just came out. I think, is this just called Lacey? Wasn't that the name of it?
You know, I don't know. I should have wrote that down.
It's just the new Lacey Peterson documentary on Netflix. I think it's just like Lacey or Lacey Peterson, or it's just three parts, 55 minutes apiece, something like that. And I was getting confused with so many other true crime cases.
Amanda Knox
is what I was mixing Holloway. Up with. Yeah. Yes, exactly. I was mixing all three of those. But anyway, I remember everything now. But we'll get into that. But first, we talked about maybe delving back into maybe one more time, going another round with convicting a murder / making a murder, maybe getting Brenda back. So I need to reach out to her. And go into like really specific details about some of these still questionable things.
And let me tell you, I meant to tell you this earlier. I was going through my index card holder, and I found all of our old notes and stuff that when we were preparing in the very beginning for the first ever one we did.
Yes.
Where we went through and wrote down every name of every player and attorney and everything.
Right.
And it was really neat to look back at our old notes because we were so naive back then to that whole thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know? And then I did see where I didn't hear from Brenda, and it's been a while, but I can still reach out to her. But they told us when we got the screeners and all that stuff before the season was over on the Daily Wire with Convicting a Murder that it would eventually be on Amazon. It is now, by the way.
That's
she didn't reach out and say that. I just happened to look, and it's listed on Amazon now. So everybody can see it now. It's out there. You don't have to subscribe to a particular place. I mean, you still got to pay for Amazon, obviously. So I think I told you the season was like $20, but you can rent them for like $2.99 a piece or something like that. So they're on Amazon now. You don't have to have the Daily Wire anymore. So a lot of people did not watch it because of that. Because it was another subscription.
That's right, yeah.
Or it was too political because Candace Owens was involved or whatever it was. So it was always excuses. And I get not paying for other things. I get that. But it's out there now. If you have Amazon, you can check it out. And maybe we'll revisit that. I think we should.
And I think if there was any reason that somebody would have held off watching it, if you like Making a Murderer, you should watch this.
100%.
It's really well
done. No matter what whether it changes minds or not. It changes a lot of minds, but...
But how? If you're... Because most people that liked it really liked it.
Yes.
And, you probably, like us, we're yearning for more, content to absorb about it.
Yeah.
Well, this and you really didn't realize does you, have some cool new stuff.
Yeah, you didn't realize you needed this.
Yeah. That's right.
You had no clue. no matter what you read, if you watched Making a Murderer, you may have read a little bit, maybe you went on some forums or whatever, and it was kind of the same stuff. You didn't realize how different it was till you watched that.
You didn't.
And
you thought you knew everything about
it. So either you loved it and changed your mind, or it's just more propaganda and it's just their own narrative and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So we'll let people argue about that. They always will. But check it out on Amazon. And I'll reach out to Brenda if that's something. I think we should, you know, maybe something that changed, and we can get into some very specific details. Because, you know, we talked to Christine on one of our podcasts shortly after that, right? And that was a big deal to me because she was somebody who believed he was innocent and changed.
Was literally part of their
part
team.
Of the documentary. And
no, I mean, like, Stephen, like, helped with... like a moderator for the Averys.
Yeah, for
she was that deep in
for
belief.
Kathleen Zellner, in the Facebook group, right?
And then so she switched from that being that deep, knowing all the family and everything, to saying, nah, he's guilty.
Yeah, this is somebody that was up there. And you know, we put in, you know, we don't edit podcasts, but in those I edited a couple pictures they sent us. They sent us some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like we broke the whole jeans and shoes thing.
I've never seen that anywhere.
Mm-mm. And you know, we got the pictures, we got the details about all that. You know, and that was, you know, specifically Brendan going home that night, Halloween night, with bleach stained jeans and shoes, and just as he described, using his foot with rags to wipe stuff. So
I gotta say, I'm shocked it wasn't in.
I am
either
too, because that's a huge.
Yeah.
So how somebody can just write that off as, well, you know, it doesn't really connect. Really? I mean, just...
Kind of like the guy in this documentary.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with it.
No. You can cheat on your wife and not be a murderer. Sure you can.
You can,
but
more, damn.
Most people just get divorced and move on with their lives.
Just blow it off is one thing.
Anyway.
Crazy.
So maybe, you know, let us know in the comments if you want to see that. We'll try to make that happen. You know, get some more really specific. And maybe... leave specific questions, because we have our own.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, leave
to prepare,
like, very specific things, and then we'll see if Brenda will come on and answer those, because she's a case expert.
That's right.
She has every piece of paper that exists about it, every document, and maybe she can pull that up real time or something, or maybe we can like send her a list of things, whatever it may be, and see if she wants to do that.
Yeah, I can't imagine that there's many questions that she hasn't heard.
Oh, sure.
Because
sure.
Everybody she talks to probably wants to just know everything. So
Brent, if you're watching, I'm reaching out to you. Let us know. I'll reach out to you on Twitter or X, or I'm never going to call it X. But anyway, and see if we can make that happen. All right. So anyway, Amanda Knox. No, I'm kidding. Lacey Peterson. I went into this and trying to remember, like I started, it was coming back as I was watching it,
because
I'd seen all this stuff, but this is a new documentary, three parts, like we said, and I didn't remember that they had found anything. I thought this is the one, I'm mixing up, you know, JonBenet and all these unsolved ones. I was like, wait a minute, they never found her, right? Anyway, so, I don't know if you want to just kind of go through it roughly for people who have not heard. This happened in the mid-90s, right?
Early 2000s.
Early 2000s. She was our age, so we were watching old videos from the mid-90s.
That's right.
That's right.
And you got a young couple who she, you know, just all-American couple to me.
Very similar to that other documentary we were talking about, All-American Family or whatever it was.
Yeah, Chris Watts.
Guy. Yeah, Chris Watts.
And so she's pregnant. Walking her dog one morning,
apparently,
and while he's out on his boat, taking a boat for a test drive, he comes back home, and his dog was in the backyard with his leash still attached, and she's nowhere to be found. Her car's there, everything.
Yep.
Turns out a neighbor found their dog wandering the streets with his dragging his leash.
Yeah, they knew who's the dog.
Knows
was,
who.
And
yeah,
put
it
in the
back
yard.
In the backyard for him.
Yep.
And then, I guess he gets the police involved, and, you know, one thing leads to another, and it becomes nationwide news.
Huge.
And I remember hearing about
it
back then. It was on TV, almost every news thing, but then the TV shows, well, they said on there, Larry King did a nightly
thing on
piece
it.
On it, yeah.
CNN, old clips they were showing.
Yeah.
It was national because, I mean, I think everybody can identify to some degree with a young pregnant lady.
I didn't say she was pregnant, did I?
I think you did.
Did I? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think you all did. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. She was 8 months
eight
pregnant.
8 months.
So she was ready to pop.
Yep.
And Connor was the son's
That's,
name.
That is, I believe. Yep.
So, yeah. So you get that basic stuff, and you start to get weird vibes immediately because, all right, now people were questioning, okay, it was Christmas Eve.
Right.
And he's traveling a lot for his job. Now, we never really, I think he was in the fertilizer business. Is that what
Good
they,
question.
They never really said specifically. Remember. But he had a lot of that in his separate shop, wherever that shop was. I'm not entirely sure. I don't think it was like on their property. I think it was,
yeah, it was
somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So Christmas Eve, like he decided, or Christmas Day, I guess, was it Eve or Day? Eve.
Eve
he was
yeah.
like, okay, I'm, it was like a, he said it was a decision that morning. He was either going to go fishing, or go golfing. And he decided to take this new boat out. And the thing about it is, he had this new boat that he had just bought December the 9th.
Yeah.
That nobody knew about. And he kept it in a separate shop, wherever this shop was. It wasn't at their house. It Mm-mm. was, you know, somewhere on a, I don't know what property, if it's his property or he rented it. Or
he just rented this big
it
place.
It was basically a big garage.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this brand new little kind of John boat, almost like a bass boat, not quite, but looked like it to me, like a John boat. That he had never didn't tell anybody about and just went fishing, but he went fishing 90 miles away.
Yeah.
That. To, and this is in California, right? So this yeah. is the Bay Area.
You gotta,
and I don't remember the name of the Bay. It's not like San Francisco Bay or something, but it's down south, Southern Cal, SoCal.
Mm-hmm.
So 90 miles away to this big bay.
Blackwater Bay.
That's it. Exactly. Brawn of the fucking Blackwater. How did he end up master a coin after he? That's so stupid.
That's funny.
Anyway,
but yeah, that's another thing, dude, is that I didn't think about till you were just saying that when you said 90 miles away.
Yeah.
With a wife who's about ready to pop.
Yeah.
What if, you know, you got a call, hey, my water
and,
broke or something.
And you're
you know,
90 miles away out in the middle
yes,
of a lake. I mean, it,
not
yeah.
a smart choice.
Now, you know, when I did say, I said to my girlfriend, we were watching the first episode before you got here,
because mm-hmm.
you watched this last week.
I did.
Then,
mm-hmm.
So it's not unusual for like Christmas Day things like that. Because I used to, me and Chad used to golf on Christmas Day. Just that morning, you know, because you didn't have anything till afternoon or night
right.
as far as family. So that's not uncommon. To do something like go Mm-mm. golf, and that's not necessarily that big of a deal. But, you know, to just leave her at home, and I'm going to go sneak out and, you know, I bought a boat, by the way.
Right.
And I'm going to go take it for a test run. So his story was that night they got pizza, watched a movie or something, went to bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something pretty standard. And then they get up. He decides, okay, I'm going to go take this boat out or golf. It was kind of switched around to different statements, but ultimately he just settled on boat on going, taking the boat out and going fishing by himself, by the way, no buddies involved.
Mm-mm.
And she was just left at home. So she was going to go walk the dog and just kind of hang out. Cause she had been, not supposed to walk anymore.
Yeah.
So she was ready to pop. She was 8 months pregnant, had
yep.
some problems, but she walked occasionally.
Ankle problems.
Now the odd part is there was a couple people who said they saw her walking the dog.
Yeah.
But I think that goes into all this true crime stuff where it depends on how that question's asked. If I say, hey, do you remember on last Wednesday,
yeah.
there was a girl with brown hair walking a dog in the park right here across the street? Yeah, I think I may have seen, because you've seen a million girls
uh-huh.
walking a dog that day, probably that day at least.
Yeah.
But so again, some people said they did see her walking the dog. So that made you think, okay, well, he had already left. She's been seen. Whatever happened had nothing to do with him. Of course, that was not the case.
Yeah. And honestly, if it was my neighbor and I had seen her walking that dog,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I have a detective asking me about it, I could almost, my brain, it could play tricks on you.
Absolutely.
You could think you saw her, but you're pulling up a memory.
That's right.
We've had a podcast on
false memories.
Yeah,
it's so true.
It is true.
It's and the older you get and talk about it, you realize that it's way more fucked up than you believe your past.
It
like
is.
I remember sections like I told you, I said this before, like my cousin Eric and Chad, they have completely different sections of time that we remember.
Yes.
Some things we cross over on, and I can remember every detail. I have years that I have no idea what Eric's talking about.
Right.
Like chunks.
I know
what
you mean. And
then I have some that he don't remember. It's weird.
Yeah.
So, and we don't know, except for the photographs, what was actually true in those things we agree on.
That's right.
So it's really a tricky thing, man.
I've misremembered photographs before.
I have too.
And then you pull it up and you're like,
oh shit,
this is different than
exactly.
I could have felt like I could have drawn this out.
Hey, can I, let me say something. I meant the funny story. I'm sorry. This don't have nothing to do with shit.
I love it.
It's so funny. Okay, so for people that don't know, I'm now selling Medicare insurance, okay? This you need this background. Okay, the last couple few nights, me and my girlfriend watched Alien and Aliens because we're going to watch Romulus.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting ready. We're getting back in Alien mode because Romulus is out. We hadn't went to see it yet. This week, last night, I had dreams. I was selling Medicare policies that had Xenomorph coverage.
Oh my God!
I swear to God.
Oh my God!
Like it was straight up, like you know, you could be attacked by a Xenomorph. This policy has a Xenomorph coverage policy that has
dreams are the weirdest thing.
I've been dreaming of insurance, right? Because I've been so much training and going through scripts and talking to real people now. I've been on the phones a little bit.
Yes.
And so I've been dreaming about that anyway, off and on.
And then watching those.
I just watched Alien and Aliens together and everything just merged.
Yes.
And I swear I was selling Alien policies. I'm sorry. That should have been an overtime.
What did that? That reminded me of that joke. what's his name?
I woke up. I'm sorry. I woke up. I said it like I was still in the dream. I was like, Miss Smith, you know this policy here comes with a Xenomorph coverage. I said that to Jan waking up.
That is hilarious. Mitch Hedberg, that comedian that died, he said something about dreams are so weird. He's like, what'd he say? You go to sleep. Next thing you know, you're building a go-kart with your ex-landlord.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
It is, dude.
Dreams are crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah, maybe that's another whole podcast right there is crazy dreams.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, so I'm sorry. I completely threw us off track.
But it's true that what got it started is us talking about false memories.
Yes. Because,
you know, I think the pressure that you're under thinking, I need to remember this.
Yeah.
You want to remember something to help the cops so bad.
That's right.
Maybe you saw her. Maybe they did see her. Who knows?
Yeah.
But the
in their mind, they believe they saw her.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like everybody's lying.
No.
So that's important
exactly.
to all of these cases and just general life.
So the cops come. They start searching, canvassing the neighborhood and everything. And the press comes. And they're all set up out there. And then the next thing you know, some neighbors come home from vacation and they go in their house and they come back out because the cops are already out there. And they're like, hey,
across the street.
Our freaking house has been broken into while we were gone on vacation.
Right.
So, you know, obviously, if I was a cop or anybody, I'm like, they're linked.
Yeah, they're related.
Yes.
I mean, literally across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, and then. So it kind of got into that stuff, and they were trying to. And Scott was the husband. Scott was, you know, working with them. They would comment about, you know, he seemed to be kind of quiet, didn't seem, you know, wasn't emotional and whatever. But you know, again, I've always said this: people process things differently.
Yeah,
and so you can't just go off of that.
You
right?
can't.
You can't.
We've talked about that on this podcast a lot.
It's true.
As hard as it is.
Yeah, because it's easy for somebody to sit there and watch these true crime things and say, if this was my husband or my wife, I would be just, or my kid even, I'd be just tore up and I couldn't, you know, even function. But you don't know how shock works and how people process stuff. Maybe, you know, in this another alternate scenario for this case, you know, he was at night by himself breaking down and he was just strong in front of family and friends or what, you know, whatever. But they did notice that.
That one detective said though is he originally agreed to take a polygraph.
Yeah.
And then didn't show up.
Yeah.
When it was time.
Or never made up for it. Or maybe, and then he said something about I'm not going to do something without my lawyer or something at some point in one of the interviews.
But initially he was like, sure. Yeah.
but they did a basically search the place, because that's always the first step, is actually searching in the house and all that stuff. Went through all that stuff, found nothing. They started organizing with the neighborhood and the family and friends, and they putting flyers out, and he's there with spearheading it, you know. But they're all talking to the media, like the white, you know, the families,
yes,
her mom and dad and brothers and sisters, all that stuff. And he's not talking to the media. And his thing was, it's not about me. Let's keep her face on the news. Let's yeah. keep her face out there, not mine. It's not, let's not focus on that. So he didn't want to talk to the media, but they all did. So he was there making calls and helping with the flyers and searches and all that stuff. So he was involved right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying.
Berkeley Marina. Sorry, I did write that down.
Berkeley.
That's
Marina.
Not named the bay, but it was yes. the Berkeley Marina. Yes, the Marina. Where he, I guess he launched a boat at.
Right, and that was his maiden voyage of this secret boat that he had by himself.
Just sit right back.
But like you know, look, I know people go fishing by themselves. That's fine.
They do.
I've known people in my life to go fishing by themselves, but it's just weird. Like on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, you think, you know, I got this new boat. You call up one of your buddies if your wife can't go or don't want to go or whatever, because she's maybe she's will be sick at that time. Whatever. I could see something like that where you call, hey, man, everybody's off. Let's go fishing today. We'll come back. We'll be home in time for supper with everybody, whatever. But
correct me if I'm wrong.
It's a secret boat.
That's what I was going to say. Correct me if I'm wrong. The way they made it out to be was like, that if any of his friends heard that, oh, he said he went, you know, put his boat in the water to go fishing that day, they made it like his friends would have kind of been surprised by that. Anybody that knew him.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
like
yeah.
you say, it's not odd for somebody to do that,
yeah.
but to go fishing by themselves. But I think those people's friends would go, oh, yeah, that's just Chris. He does that all the time.
Yes.
This guy didn't even have a boat as far as anybody was
that's
concerned.
Right. That was like, what boat?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but now all of his stuff seemed to line up.
Yeah.
He knew what they watched on TV. That was later in the courtroom.
Yeah.
They actually confirmed there was a Martha Stewart episode with
Meringue
on it and yeah. all that stuff. So everything lined up as far as like where he went, the times he's there. He had the ticket for going there where they check it to the marina. The lures, down to the lures. He said there was one thing that caught the attention of the cop in those early interviews was he was using some new silver lure, but it was in the package still.
Ooh.
One little thing, he was like, ah, it's a little odd. But, you can't hang a case off something like that. So it's like.
But you file it away if you're a detective. Yeah.
Right. One of those type of things. So, all that started, it was fairly normal after that as far as, like, it was a missing person, news running it, everybody's out, they're canvassing areas, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And what was the big break?
The big break is...
What happened?
He had a lady he was running around his wife with.
Yes.
Somebody sent them a picture of them together
yes.
at Christmas, and... So,
we should mention, Lacey never gave any hints of him being crazy or deranged. It was all, she had a diary. It was all, she was in love.
Madly in love with this
madly
dude.
In love with this, Casanova.
That was her guy.
And originally he didn't want kids, but then she said he changed his mind and then she came up pregnant. So they tried for a while, having some trouble. Then she came up pregnant. And this yes. was kind of along the times all her high school friends were also having kids and all that kind of stuff. Married.
Yep.
So just to throw that in there, he did not want kids and told her that from the get-go. But then apparently changed his mind according to her.
I think he traveled on his job, right? He had to drive
even
far
though they
away.
Didn't make that clear, I don't remember exactly what that was, but apparently there was some travel involved.
It made it sound like to me, again, correct me if I'm wrong, The girl's name was Amber Frey.
Yes.
And
Frey.
Yeah, Frey.
The way it's spelled is fucking
Walter
Frey. Walter Frey.
Now, she made it sound like she was hooked up with him, right? Like, one of her friends was like, there's a guy you got to meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
Was supposed to be, he wasn't married as far as she was concerned.
No, she had no idea.
And so once all, like, this got brought brought to light, as far as the detectives were concerned, she cooperated fully.
100%.
So much so that they tapped her phone and she recorded so many conversations with him.
That came back to really bite him.
He had told her that he lost his wife on the 9th.
The day he bought the boat.
Yes, how weird is that?
So what happened was they had been dating. He was not married as far as she knew. She did not tell him. He lied about it. He's single. Then a friend of a friend or whatever, you know how that happens, called him and said, "You better tell, I know you're married. You better tell her before," one of her friends that somehow mutually saw whatever. "You better tell her before I do." So he calls her.
Calls
the Amber girl. Amber, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amber Frey, yeah.
And says, "You know, I lied to you. I was married, but I lost my wife." And he told her that December 9th, and that's the same day that he bought this secret boat and put it in his little garage, wherever in the hell that property was.
Yeah.
And so she, at the time, was like, you know, he was emotional about it, and she was like, she was being supportive and, you know, kind of didn't understand, but kind of, you know, understood it could be an emotional time, but I don't think she knew any details. So she was more, instead of being mad at him at the time about lying about not being married, it was like, okay, well, he's been through a lot type of thing. Yeah. So I'm going to be supportive of it. So.
Oh, and Mr. I Don't Want to Have Kids.
Yes.
Was amazing with her kid.
Yes. She had a child already. Yes. She was a single mom.
Single mom.
And that was one of her things when those calls was like, you know, I wish you could spend more time with me. And I forgot her daughter's name.
Yeah, me too.
But stop traveling so much. But what was going on with the traveling, though, we don't really know how much he was traveling for work, because she told him that, okay, he had everything planned out.
Mm-hmm.
for Christmas, New Year's, and whatever. He was going to be in somewhere, then Paris or whatever after New Year.
Yeah.
And that way, because he had to be at Christmas with his own family.
Yeah.
And it was for work and all this stuff. And he even called her, supposedly from Paris. Now, looking back at the date and time when this phone call was recorded, he was actually at
a vigil, yeah,
for his wife, a candlelight vigil.
Wild, man.
And he was like in the background, you could hear noise, and, yeah, you know, and like, I can't hear you, and all this kind of shit. So that was the big thing that really busted it open, as far as like, because everybody was really working. Even the detective said, "We're trying to eliminate you, dude," because, you know, husbands, wives, girlfriends, boyfriend, well, all that. They're the first people you have to check into for murder cases.
You've got to.
And because it's most of the time.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
So they're trying to eliminate this dude, and he's been cooperative and all that for the most part, but they said kind of limited.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what that means, but I guess, you know, just not answering clearly or whatever, maybe not. I don't know. But
they said that I think he thought this will go away in a few weeks.
Yes.
And then it goes nationwide.
And
everybody's talking about it. And then, see, the cops, they never even told the families, either family, about Amber, the other girl.
Right.
Until they heard the Inquirer.
Yes.
Somehow their hands on the picture.
A photo got leaked. And, you know, when we say leaked, we mean sold.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly somebody sold it.
Clearly.
That. I mean, I, of course. So the Inquirer breaks this. Now the families of both sides, her parents, her family, and his, they're now, her family's calling him, like her brother and stuff, were like, okay, man, you got to give me something.
Yeah.
We're trying to support you here, but now they know you've had this girlfriend, there's been an affair, you got to give me we can't keep supporting you without some answers. And he really didn't answer any questions.
Mm-mm.
At all. So eventually, during these press conferences, her brother and family came out and said, we can no longer support Scott Peterson, because now the eyes are all turning on him.
Yes.
Because there was clearly some lying going on.
Yeah, he was like, well, you know how good we got along.
Yeah,
you know me.
That I loved her so more than anything in the world. And
there's not really giving him anything.
And I hope you know me well enough to know that I would never do anything to
you
know, harm her or whatever it was. But basically shit like that, just kind of generic, you know, shit that didn't really answer any questions. But eventually, after all that, they just had to stop supporting him and started supporting the police as far as looking more into him, because clearly they were having conversations with, like, something's weird here with this dude, because this is more motive, at least.
It's easy to play Monday morning quarterback and sure. watch things after you know the outcome and go, man, that guy's weird. You know, Chris and I both have daughters, as y'all know, and I would like to think that I could pick up on these vibes from a guy that my daughter's with.
Yeah.
But evidently everybody to a man thought he was a good dude.
Everybody.
And, you know, that helped him a lot.
Yeah, it went into their past and how they met, and, you know, he was the all-American dude, and, you know, Mr. Like, you could tell he was a playboy back in the day. I got that feeling anyway. I mean, you know, good-looking dude.
Yep.
His voice didn't seem to match on phone calls, at least. Maybe in the real life it would, but his voice was odd. It was, like, higher pitched than it should have been. Yeah. Like, you felt like you should have been talking like this, you know. But it was more like up here, and it's like, I love you. Like, you know, it was just odd. Anyway, I'm sorry. No. But maybe that was just the phone calls, I'm sure, but the recordings.
That's the thing. I look at him all through that documentary, and I'm going, you know, he's a weirdo. I think I could tell he was hiding something or whatever, who knows, man? Like you said earlier, unless you're in it.
But when you see, like, all the – even both sides of the family, and even Lacey never had a negative – like, I didn't at least mention that. Like, I'm sure they had arguments, stuff like every couple, but they never mentioned that she said anything negative about him, ever. Even in her own diary, there was nothing negative about him. So she was, like, completely in this illusion, or in this in her reality of in love with her forever man, husband. They had a son on the way. Life was peachy and perfect. And he had lived this whole double life, apparently.
But one thing he did that really is weird is he... They had a nursery for Connor in their house.
Yes.
And I think for damage control, he finally agreed to talk to the media.
He started doing interviews
after the Inquirer thing came out.
Yep.
And a thing he on multiple interviews it showed, he said something about that nursery and how he wasn't going to touch it. Don't even go in there.
Yeah, they asked, like, you know, what's it like with the nurse? He's like, door's closed. I can't go in there. You know, he tried to be, you can almost tell now, you know, obviously this is looking back from some old footage, but he was trying to be, like, emotional, but he couldn't do it.
He couldn't do it.
He couldn't even get a tear. Like, he felt like he was like.
And he'd have his long stares, and I'm like, this dude's straining to get a tear out.
He is. He's trying so hard. He's trying to think of some weird thing in the past that made him cry.
Yeah.
Like his big brother beating his ass or something. Yeah. You know, he was literally straining to try to get a tear to grow down his cheek. It'd been a perfect image, you know. But so, yeah, he had these little things where he'd have, like, he'd invite certain reporters to come in with one camera. They had to take their shoes off, but he didn't. That was odd. That's a control thing to me. I don't know. It's weird. So he thought it was going to do good, but it just made it worse.
It did. It backfired.
He thought it was going to, like, make everybody love him again, go back to searching, and leave him alone so he can move on with his life, which is clearly what he's planning on doing. Because as it turns out, the nursery was just a storage room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was still a crib in there, but all his stuff moved.
Yeah.
He sold her car.
Sold her car.
Like, you're waiting on your wife to come home. She's going to need her car.
Yeah, it's a damn Land Rover. You know how women are attached to their Land Rovers now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially back then.
Yes,
you know,
for sure.
That's what they call it, a G-Wagon?
Yes, absolutely.
And, dude, you know she's going to want that if she comes back.
Yeah, came up even. So this was just, it was a matter of months, right? He was already looking to put the house on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked about it. Well, what do you mean? When Lacey comes home, there's no way she's going to want to live here.
Yeah.
Like, what?
So, the cops, they're scouring that bay, and they find...
Yeah, so basically all the eyes are turned back on him, and, like, they're starting to pick up little inconsistencies about where he went, and then the timing, and the secret boat, and whatever. So, they go...
And they find this... Something's down there, like, with arms stretched out like this in the bay. And so, they go, and they send divers down there, and turns out it's a boat anchor, a big boat anchor down in the sand. And somebody, one of the moms, call him and leave a message.
Yes.
and they had his phone tapped. So
At this point, they had put a tracker on his vehicle and tapped his phone. He had no clue.
No.
And whenever he called Amber, she was recording every call.
That's right.
For the cops.
Yep.
Yeah, just throw that out
there. And that tracker, as a matter of fact, they saw he kept going to the bay where they were searching and never talked to any of the cops or anything.
Never went down
there. They would
watch
the tracker, and they would see where he showed up, and they'd see him look around like he was looking to see where they were searching to see if he was okay.
And then and take off.
When they found that anchor, somebody called and left him a message.
I think it was a sister.
One of his family members,
yes.
And he listened to the message where he said, that was a boat anchor, which we knew it wasn't going to be her body anyway.
Right.
But when they said it was a boat anchor,
you
could hear him listening to it go.
He literally went,
yeah.
But like a more of a whistly.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's clear as day. And then the detective confirmed that's exactly what it was.
Right.
But to set that up, though, the reason they started going back again, turning on him and looking more into that bay was they decided, okay, we got to check out your garage, dude. So they go out there.
Boom. That's right.
He had made, and I've seen a lot of people do this. People make their own little anchors. And they're just concrete blocks with some rebarb, like a bucket.
Yep.
Make it in a bucket. You make it in a bucket, some concrete, some rebarb, and you make your own little anchor. He has said he only made one.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, he had made multiple ones there because there were circles where you could see the concrete.
You
could
see it easy.
There was one in his boat, but there was no rope.
Yeah.
Anybody that's ever been on a little fishing boat, a John boat, a bass boat, whatever, you have a rope. Because you throw the damn weight down and it hooks on whatever, or maybe it's just weighted.
Yep.
And it stays hooked to the boat, so it keeps the boat still. But there was just one in there without a rope.
Oh, geez, Scott. Come
and,
on.
Of course, the big thing was a pair of needle nose. Now, needle nose, you have needle nose in your tackle box.
Yeah.
That's normal. But not with black hair wrapped around them.
Nope.
And she had black hair.
Yeah.
So that's what made him okay. Something's going on here. She's in this fucking bay.
Yeah.
He's full of shit. So that's what started that whole thing when they went back out there, started scouring.
And
by this time, like I said, we had the car tracker and the phone tapped. And then Amber was now working with the cops and kind of going along because she would still call her throughout all this.
And she played along really well.
She played along with it. Yep.
And
ended up being, of course, one of the star witnesses.
So then what is it? Somewhere around day 55, I think it was around there. So about two months into it, a little baby male fetus washes up in that bay, and then a little way down the coastline, her torso washes up, or a female torso.
Yep.
And they did DNA tests to confirm it, and it was,
like they knew immediately, obviously, because this was. He went into detail, right? He went up, put his boat in. He went out a couple miles north to this little island in this bay, and I forgot the name of the island.
Oh yeah.
But there's a sign: no, you can't put your boat up. No, you can't beach your boat on that island.
Yep.
And see, remember,
no
seeing
landing.
That?
Or
yeah,
something.
No landing.
Yep.
But then that's fairly close. I mean, that's relative, I guess, as far as distance. But where they ended up washing up,
Bear Island.
Yeah. Exactly. It's really, really cold up there. I don't see how it got through the ice.
Sorry.
But, yeah, he's got Game of Thrones on the mind. We got
Blackwater Bay and
Bear
Island.
Blackwater Bay and Bear Island.
I have been watching it again.
Yes, I just finished it, too.
I've told you guys I was watching it again. I'm really watching it again now. Sorry.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, the detective knew exactly where he was talking about. They show good pictures of him as he's saying it on the recording.
Yeah.
And you're like, yep, that's exactly what he saw.
Yep.
And so the cop said, did he not say we need to get him even before the DNA results.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're like, they go back to the judge and get the order.
Guess what? This SOB is way down south.
He's in San Diego.
Yes.
At his brother's
30 miles from the border of Mexico
at his sister's house.
Yep.
Yes.
She said he was staying there,
which is apparently normal. He had been there several times during this investigation.
Uh-huh.
Except this time the dude has dyed his hair, grown a beard. His beard and hair is blonde.
Colored it too, yeah.
He looked like an old Slim Shady.
It's crazy, man.
Or whatever. I don't know. And then, not on top, on top of that, he had $15,000 cash, including some pesos, four cell phones, like a couple burner phones, several credit cards, and his brother's ID, who he looked like because he had dyed his hair.
After he altered his appearance, he looked like the guy.
And but the sister said, it's just not true he was about to run. He stayed here a few times during the investigation.
Yeah, okay. He was going to play golf.
He was going to play golf in Mexico.
In all fairness, the phone recordings that they played,
he
realized he had a tail.
This was during the time they were trying to arrest him. And he thought it was the
press
not the cops.
And he was literally saying to his brother-in-law or brother or whatever, he was saying, look, man, I don't guess I'm going to play today. These guys are following me. I don't want any pictures of me.
Yeah, playing golf in the press.
You know, maybe he was going to play, but it was probably going to be their last round together, and he was heading to Mexico. Yeah. I truly believe it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have that shit in your car unless you're at least ready
to
bolt.
He had, camping supplies, stove and everything, bunch of saws.
Knives and saws and all that stuff.
He had a scuba, snorkeling set. He was ready to go.
He was ready to bolt.
And, you know, I don't know. They got him and took him in. The DNA comes back that it is her and Connor. And next thing you know, they got to have a trial.
Yep. And then we got a couple of the damn jurors in this documentary, and the one guy just gets on my nerves for whatever reason. He's like, this is like his star moment, his 15 minutes, and he wants to be so in this thing. Anyway, sorry.
He did.
But he was just like, there's no way with what I saw of this man. You know, prove to me what you're saying he did. You know, he was that hyped up about it. And it's like, calm down, dude. It's a documentary 20 years later.
So what? He cheated on his wife.
That don't make him a killer.
No.
Of course not.
It doesn't.
Of course
but
not.
You can't dismiss it.
No, you can't just say it has nothing to do with it.
That's right.
Because we said, both of us said this, and I've said this many times with these kind of documentaries, man. I don't get, you know, just, even if it's going to make you look bad, you can leave your wife legally and just move on if you don't want to be with her and have a child. It's a horrible thing to do. But it's legal and it's not hurting anybody as far as physically, you know, it's going to hurt the family and you're going to look bad to your, community, but there's something else. Some sociopathic element within these fuckers who do this because, most people would just take off. A lot of people do
believe truly believe that they can outsmart the cops.
Yes.
They think, okay, I can do this. She's gonna go missing.
Yeah.
Either people are gonna think she ran away, she got kidnapped, whatever. She's gonna leave and never come back.
Yep.
And
there's no.
I'll be able to move on with my life.
Yes.
And I won't have to deal with the guilt of facing my family and her family with a new girlfriend.
I guess we're using logic and stuff.
But
that's the way you think it would go in their heads. But who knows?
Yeah, because you know you're not gonna just out and out murder them instead of divorce them, because you know if you're worried about how the optics of it,
right?
The murder looks way worse than just leaving your pregnant wife.
Exactly.
But you can't help but think of the Chris Watts case.
It's very similar.
Very similar.
I mean, really close.
She just disappears with the kids. Her car's still there. You know, it's very similar. Very similar.
Yeah, and it's never going to work because somebody at some point. But now again, but that's why it's so important as far as the motive, right? Is in this case, it's this new girl. Although she had a child already, but maybe he wouldn't feel as connected to this child. Whatever it is, not his kid to deal with.
And
if something happens,
and it's not a baby.
It's not a baby.
Maybe he's nervous and don't like babies or what. Yeah. I don't. You never know how peculiar people
but
are.
For whatever
things.
Reason, at least Lacey, she got pregnant. So that happened. So at least in her mind, he had changed her mind. But maybe he had already started thinking about shit like this because he told that girl on December 9th that, I lost my wife. That was 2 weeks before it actually happened. So he thought about it at least for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we go through the trial. I'm trying to think if we missed anything. Turns out that robbery was not related. It was two guys who were, I think they were dope fiends, and they were just in it for the money. And they once they found out the media and cops were there because of that big story, they're like, oh, no, hell no. They cooperated immediately. Like, look, we just robbed a place, man. We saw that there was a media there and cops or whatever. They couldn't pinpoint the day. So that ended up being not related. And I'm trying to think besides those really that put it together. Once they had the DNA. Oh, I'm sorry. So Amber is on. She gets called in. He got the big badass. I forgot his name.
Oh, I didn't write it down.
The big badass, suave, fucking Snoop, you know, pimp. I was going to say the Snoop Dogg crip walking looking motherfucker comes in there. I forgot his name.
He's going to.
I remember.
Pro bono.
You know. He's going to get him off. And they did. It looked like in the beginning of the trial, they were doing pretty well.
As far as
apparently, you know, some of the way they did the cross examination. So a big, big hotshot lawyer that represented him. And their whole thing, their thing was to, what was their, like, what were they going to do? Make it look like what? It wasn't like police corruption this time.
No, they just basically said, prove it. There's no evidence linking him to it.
Yes, exactly.
So it prove it.
Yeah. You know, this is the cops. Just it's some weird thing that happened to him and his family, and you're making him the victim because you need to, I don't know exactly what you said, but because it was never, it wasn't like OJ when you had, you know, everybody was, you couldn't, it was not recorded or it's not televised.
Right.
It was recorded because they do have courtroom footage.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that pretty much sealed the deal, right? I mean, you know, they put together the timeline. He never to this day admits to it, still to this day. The death penalty was on the table in California back in those days, but ended up being guilty, two charges, mother and child.
Yep.
They were debating death penalty or not.
And they gave him death initially.
Yes, they did initially.
And then I guess it was changed to life.
Yeah, life without parole.
And I do believe, like Chris said, it was really looking good for him in the beginning, but I think Amber is the reason he got the guilty.
Amber did not fold to that lawyer's high-pressure tactics is what basically was said.
And he pleaded the fifth. And
didn't take the stand.
And did not take the stand, but they played those conversations, and it made him look terrible to the jury.
Yep.
All the lying and stuff.
So he got caught red-handed lying with the trackers. All that stuff was recorded, every conversation. Because, again, he continued to call her even after this. It was crazy. Because, you know, his whole thing was, I'm going to get out of this. This is going to go away, and I'm going to talk you in to staying with me. Not guilty now, you know. So you can see it was all bullshit, and they set it up. Now, what I wanted to get to, because
that's
pretty straightforward, right, you think. It goes back to kind of like we were talking about with the Stephen Avery stuff and the families.
Yes.
To this day, because the sister of his sister and was there another?
And his brother's wife.
And his brother's wife. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Both in this documentary, which is fairly new, still to this day believe that he is innocent. With all the evidence they saw.
And still fighting for
him. And still fighting for him. And they still believe it has something to do with the robbery.
Yep.
And that's their thing, and they're sticking to it.
They think he was railroaded. Look, I guess the cops are looking for the easy play.
And I told you I got a message from somebody about saying, hey, y'all need to watch this and do a podcast on it. And I said, I'm definitely going to check it out because I had just seen the advertisement for it. And I text you then and said, we got to, you know, have you seen it? But because that cop erased one thing in his report, it brought up corruption. And and that's where that person said it reminds you, there's a couple of questionable things. It reminds you of Stephen Avery case. And no, not really. Just that one part. But you see, like you said, his explanation, delete a thing because he heard, he was writing a report on hearsay. Somebody else who was a detective was actually interviewed that person and already had that in his statement.
Yes.
So he deleted that from his.
Yeah, because his was through the grapevine.
His was through the grapevine.
Theirs was from the horse's mouth.
So you can see how that could look bad on him.
Yeah,
but
he even admitted it. Yeah,
it's an honest thing. Like, okay, I don't need that. I'm hearing this through the grapevine. He's got it from the horse's mouth.
Yep.
You don't need to double up on reports type of thing. So there are some things that, you know, you can see that can happen with cops and, that you make think, oh, shit, look, they're railroading some dude.
And honestly, I don't know. I think that's the one thing about our justice system that I like. And at the same time, is scary because there's nothing that directly ties him to her murder, right? So now, if it's my daughter who's killed, I want circumstantial evidence to be strong enough to be able to convict who I believe killed her.
Right.
But if it's my son and his wife is murdered, you know, I would probably be on the opposite side of that fence and be like, this is only circumstantial.
That's right.
So again,
that's what I mean. So
it's wild.
It is, because you think with, you know, we're sitting back, like you said, we're armchair quarterbacks, mm-hmm. we're third parties. We don't have a dog in the hunt, right? But the sister actually believes, even though she sat through all that and knows the evidence, she actually believes, at least maybe here subconsciously she don't, but consciously she believes that he is innocent and he has pulled the wool over her eyes with all this bullshit, and then it still has something to do with some dudes who came home or was robbing a house and saw her walking the dog, and maybe she saw it or whatever she thinks.
Yep.
And snatched her up,
her from telling on them.
Exactly, and drove 90 miles away to that same place where he had a secret boat launch.
That's so weird, yeah.
So I get that, like, if it was still, like, within months, let's say months of this happening, you know, I can understand still, you know, holding on to that type of thing. But after
20 years
yeah. of seeing, like, all the documentaries and all the evidence sitting through the trial, you got to start thinking, like, to me, and again, you know, this is me being a third party. I've never had a family member with something like this, but you got to start thinking, even quietly to yourself, like, you know, it is very odd. He had this boat that he told nobody, including his wife, about, and then went out there fishing that day, and they find her body in the same place where he did go, and it was documented that he went. And then if you start bringing in all the detailed evidence, like the anchors and blah, 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 you got to think it's a possibility, don't you?
You'd have to.
Somewhere.
But there were two ladies on there. One was the news reporter who was reporting back then, and the other was what, like this crime psychologist or something?
Yeah.
One of the two of them said, these people, they're basing all of this off of they knew Scott since he was a kid, and like there's no way that guy that they knew and grew up with could have ever done this. And I get that. Like,
yes.
I believe that I could have, my brain could almost deny evidence right in my face if it's somebody who I knew was good, a good person, and I knew him their whole life. It would be hard.
I agree. I completely get that. But
like you say, after 20 years.
after some time to reflect on and think back and, you know, like I said, be involved in the documentary where it's brought back up.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody's showing you, here's the evidence again. You're kind of reliving the trial again.
Yep.
All those things. And you know that it was verified. These two dudes just robbed a house for money. They took some jewelry and stuff to get some dope. It just doesn't make any sense to sit there. I mean, again, I don't know what they say in private.
Mm-hmm.
We've been bamboozled with documentaries before, but this story's old.
That's right.
There's been many documentaries and news reports and all that, but I don't get that stuff. And it goes the other way too. Like I've said with the Stephen Avery stuff, right? Her parents, you know, like they can't be, certainly they have to question after seeing the first, you know,
yeah,
making
we did.
A murder.
We talked about on that point.
Other side.
We did. Yep.
So I'm not just being, you know, I get it, but it's still after so long when it's not as painful to think about or talk about or whatever, you think you would be a little more open to seeing the reality.
And
it's
crazy. That happened with the Chris Watts thing.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Scott and Chris, their parents stand by them both.
Mm-hmm.
But if their sons did what they were found guilty of,
right,
they killed their grandkids too.
That's right. Exactly. That's a good point. It's a good way to put it. Yes.
It's like, it's not just the woman's kids.
It almost becomes these two families against each other. And I'm not saying they are. I'm saying it feels that way. Because, you know, he destroyed two families, but they were won by marriage. But you're right. That's their grandbaby, too.
Mm-hmm.
How can you not be, you know, I don't know.
I'd be so pissed.
As a parent, I get, you know, even if my child did something horrible and was put in prison, I could condemn that, right? At the same time, as still always loving my child.
Amen.
Because, you know,
you're still
a parent.
Yeah.
I get that. But not to, like, admit, like, they're just bad. They did a bad thing. You know, whether it was a mistake in the moment, but this was planned.
Jeffrey Dahmer's mom said, I still love him.
That's right.
I can't help it.
And we forgot to mention that, too. They don't know exactly, but more than likely it was a strangulation because it was quiet, no mess, no blood. This happened at home.
The rug was messed up.
That's right. I know. That proves it. Never mind. So, yes, apparently their theory is that he did strangle her at home.
Yeah.
And then put her because there was a big deal with these umbrellas he was carrying.
Yeah.
Put her in the truck. Put the umbrella and stuff over her, went to the storage thing with the boat, put her in the boat, drove out 90 miles with her in the boat, then took her out, dumped her, and wrapped her up in a tarp.
And I believe the reason the rope was missing is because it was tied to her anchors.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Those other ones that are missing that he made.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they said there was a tarp, rope, and clearly weighted semen anchors.
Yeah.
And, you know, he thought he was checking up, making sure they're not looking over there. But he don't know how physics works underwater and how what happens to bodies. It's not like freezing where it's going to be preserved. And it's going to bloat and
all that stuff.
And it starts breaking apart and all those, you know, we don't get out too graphic. But you know what I mean. It's horrible to think about.
It is.
But then... Again, that's what I had a question about too. Two counts of murder because
I don't know that for sure. I'd like to know.
I know they read two different counts, but I know here in our state, North Carolina, it would be two counts of murder for sure.
Yeah, they let it fade out or something.
Yeah, but she said murder, but the captions faded. But I know there were two counts, and because remember they mentioned it at the end too, account for her and account for Connor. Yeah, they did say that. So, anyway, he's in prison for the rest of his life. I didn't even think about it. I guess this has been, 20 years? So, I guess this dude's probably, let's see, they're our age. They're about our age.
Yeah, they are. She was born in 75.
Yeah, so she was, she was a month older than me. So, he was fairly close, I'd imagine. So, he's got a while to rot.
Let's see. His naturally dark brown hair had been dyed blonde, and his Mercedes was overstuffed with miscellaneous items, including
just golf
$10,000, nearly $10,000 in cash, 12 Viagra tablets.
I know they did mention he had some Viagra.
Survival gear, camping equipment, several changes of clothes, four cell phones, two driver's licenses, and his brother, Scott's father. Scott's father, Lee Peterson, explained that Scott had used his brother's license the day before to get a San Diego resident discount at the golf course, and that Scott had been living out of his car because of the media attention.
Sure. He lived there the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time the media was camped out at his house, he lived there.
Let's see about this trial. On November 12th, 2004, the jury convicted Scott of two counts of murder.
Okay.
First-degree murder with special circumstances for killing Lacey, and second-degree murder for killing the fetus she carried.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah, we were curious about that before, so I had to look it up.
Yeah, I just knew of a personal case that involved a child unborn, and here that's two counts of murder.
Oh, in North Carolina?
Yeah,
okay.
In North Carolina. That's
You do.
Yes,
holy
I do.
Crap. I was like,
I don't want to.
I forgot about that.
I don't want to say that right now.
Okay.
I want to, I want to invite Mr. Hayes, we talked about before, yes, on this pod. He's done another recent one with a buddy of mine. I need to get you caught up in that and see if he'll come on here, because he's answering some things now a little more openly. I don't know.
Cool.
That'd be cool to me. Anyway, related to that, that's why I knew that law, because that actually happened. But anyway, I'm trying to think. I feel like there was like a twist or something we missed, but it was just pretty straightforward. I was just mixing several cases up.
And
but yeah, I mean, he about got away with it. Again, I think he would have walked if it wasn't for the bodies, because, you know, there wasn't a direct connection. But that put everything together when he was, you know, they find the bodies where he said he went, because he couldn't decide if he wanted to tell them golf or fishing at first, and he should have told them golf, and he should have went and played around.
Here's some things that we didn't hear in that. It says, in later press appearances, members of the jury stated that they believed Scott's demeanor, specifically his lack of emotion and the phone calls to Fry in the days following Lacey's disappearance, indicated his guilt. Juror number one, Greg Baratlis, and two other jurors said they based their verdict on hundreds of small puzzle pieces of circumstantial evidence that came out during the trial, from the location of her body to the myriad lies her husband told after her disappearance.
Yeah.
On October 21st, 2005, a judge ruled that proceeds from a $250,000 life insurance policy Scott took out on Lacey would go to Lacey's mother, which was reaffirmed by the 5th District Court of Appeal on October 31st, 2007.
They didn't mention life insurance.
They did not.
Not at all.
And it said...
that's even more.
Yeah.
Like, that's even more for, like, you know, sister.
I agree.
Like, why is that not...
Why? That wasn't even mentioned in that.
Not even
that
mentioned.
That should have been.
Yeah.
It says, the penalty phase of the trial began on November 30th, concluded December 13th, when the jury rendered a sentence of death. On March 16th, Judge DeLucci followed the jury verdict, sentencing Scott to death by lethal injection and ordering him to pay $10,000 toward the cost of Lacey's funeral, calling the murder of Lacey cruel, uncaring, heartless, and callous. Well, we know he had $10,000 in his Mercedes
that
he could give towards the funeral.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal, the insurance thing.
$250,000 in 2003?
By the way, with all these cases we've talked about and others we hadn't, we just watched or whatever, and I know you've watched a lot more than me, these insurance is so common. It makes me scared to get life insurance on anybody. Like, I have it for myself because I get it through my job now.
You should. I know what you mean.
But yeah, it makes me scared to go get like life insurance on my daughter or something. Or somebody
insurance
I love.
Insurance agents have no idea how many death sentences they've
signed. It's crazy, man. Yeah, that's a pretty big deal. So it's even more to point in the direction of him and for his non-believing family to understand what actually happened that day.
It is wild.
It's crazy. I would love, because I understand you want to be sensitive to somebody like she did, you know, to her credit, she came on the documentary and talked about it and all that stuff. But it makes you wonder, like, could you have an interview with her or somebody and ask her those type of things? You know what I mean? It's, you know, without being cruel and insensitive, because it is your brother, and I get all that, but like you want to shake him. You know, it's kind of like the old, like when you were a kid, your parents want to shake you to death. Like, you just want to, you can't see.
I know.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be, you know what I'm saying?
No, I do.
Like,
I mean, man.
I get it, man. You know, I don't know how I'd react if somebody in my family, I couldn't believe it, but then I think I'm logical enough if there was evidence put in front of me especially after a while, that I could see through and say, yeah, they fucked up.
There's a YouTube channel I watch that's true crime. And every time in the episode when he gets to a point where he talks about life insurance, does a little break with music playing, and he's like, because it's so common.
It's every case.
There's damn life insurance. You can just.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. That makes me scared to buy it on somebody else. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Like, I signed up. I got it automatically with my job. For me, that just pays my daughter, for example, if something happens to me, but damn.
I was in a, you know this.
Excuse me.
I was in I did a business deal where I was buying a business. And the guy said, look, if anything happens to you, before this is paid off, the agreement we made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want it back. Your wife can have it, but so you need to take out an insurance policy
on yourself
and put me as the beneficiary. I did. It was $500,000.
Right.
And it was so hard for me to get that written. They did the physical and everything. Yada, yada. I got caught with nicotine in my system. You remember this. But
that's
do you know how weird I felt around him?
That's right.
He had a half a million reasons to cut my brake lines or something.
That's right. But, you know, it makes sense, though, in that circumstance.
Oh, it did.
There's a place for it. I mean, and most insurance is not used for, you know, devious activities.
And I told my wife at the time, I was like, if something happens to me, you know, he's getting this money.
Yeah, regardless.
But freaking investigate him.
Yes, exactly. That's crazy, man.
Yeah. Money is a motive for bad things. It's why people rob banks and do things
that's right.
totally out of character.
Well, and that's the thing. That would be a good thing to get into in some other podcast because we love to get into the psychology of things.
Yes, we do.
It's not the actual money. Everybody says money is the root of all evil. No, it's the freedom. Freedom is the root.
Freedom that the money gives you.
Money provides you.
Yep.
With that. That's what it's about.
Yeah, man.
It's freedom from the grind of somebody, you know, of a job or somebody else's dream or schedule.
Yep.
It's the freedom that motivates you, not the actual money. That's just the means to an end. And if you think about it a little deeper than that.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I mean, everybody has said, man, if I could just get one big chunk.
Oh, yeah.
Just one chunk. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could straighten my life out. And that's how it happens.
That is.
But then we watched that show on that guy who robbed all those banks. He could have quit at any time.
And they can't. It's like
there's an addiction.
There's addiction, not just to having the money, but getting it. Yep.
That's why you get these black widow wives.
That's right.
Who have cashed in multiple insurance policies over the years.
Yep.
And they may marry a guy and be with him 10, 20 years before they kill him.
Yeah.
You know?
They're playing a long game.
They do. That's
as long as they're comfortable during that time period.
They're playing the long game.
Playing a long game.
And that's how they get by with killing two or three
husbands. I think I told you. I know I told my girlfriend recently we were talking about some true crime stuff because we watched one of those little mini things on. It was a woman who killed a bunch of people in a house. She was like taking care of people. But my grandmother knew the Black Widow lady here in North Carolina.
Really?
Yeah. She didn't, I mean, of course, know who she was as far as what she did, but she knew her. And she was nicknamed, I know there's been a lot of Black Widows, but there was one specifically in this area who's a serial killer lady. And they nicknamed her the Black Widow. My grandmother knew her. That's crazy. It's a fucking small world. Anyway, I think that's about it. It's pretty straightforward, but it's worth a watch. To go back and see they should have mentioned the insurance, but other than that, a lot of details in there, and you see kind of to hear the phone calls and all that stuff is just it's mind bending how people they can get away with shit. I mean, because I think that's part of it too, right? Is everybody's seen cop shows and true crime, even back in the 90s, there were cop shows and stuff. They think they can do it,
they do.
I can get away with it, and look. There's a lot of people that probably do. We ain't talking about because they ain't got caught.
That's right.
But at some point, shit's going to catch up with you. There's too many people, too many eyes, especially these days. There's too much technology, too many cameras, you know, police state, all this other stuff. There's a damn Ring doorbell that's going to bust your ass somewhere.
There is.
That you don't take into account. You might have everything else perfect, but there's a Ring doorbell somewhere that's going to put your ass in the slammer. So...
Oh, dude, that reminds me of another one, fascinating one that you need to watch, an interrogation of this guy. He was a loser who, a young kid who had gotten this girl pregnant. They had a baby. Her family welcomed him into their house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't want to work. No. He's just this... He had an excuse for everything.
Yeah.
He stayed home with the baby at their house while they all went to work and everything. Well, he kept doing all these different things, like dramatic things, and having the cops come over there because somebody had broken into their house and stolen the keys to the truck and would just to aggravate them, would hit the alarm on the truck and everything at night.
Yeah.
And flatten their tires. One time he said they came up to the back door and he freaking fought them away. Their hand was coming in the sliding glass door. His dog scared them off and chased them off, blah, blah, blah. Well, after he killed this woman, they're interrogating him. He tells all this stuff again, goes through the whole list of everything these people did, this person who he thinks killed them.
Mm-hmm.
He set all that up. And it was a Ring doorbell that in the backyard from a neighbor's house way in the back,
right,
who saw his back door clearly. They watched all this footage. They even saw the cops when they called the cops. They saw the cops come up to the back door looking around. Nobody ever came to that back door. But, you know, he thought he was smart enough to make up all this stuff and,
that's right,
and create this suspect.
Yes.
For them to look for.
Yes.
And they never, you can't outsmart them anymore.
No, you can't.
Something's going to catch you.
No, something's going to catch you. It's not necessarily outsmarting them. It's just something in there's some piece of technology
and
or somebody's going to talk or whatever it is.
Not that we want to give tips away for any potential people, but I think, wasn't there something we talked about on here where when you call 911, even while it's ringing on your end, it's still recording.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can listen to the recording of before the dispatcher ever picks up.
Yeah, I believe, yeah.
And the guy, they've caught people who turn it on after they say, 911, can I help you? Then they're like, oh my God. But while it was ringing, they're like, so calm. Yeah, nothing.
Exactly.
So, like, there's technology people don't know about.
That's right.
That always ends up getting them.
Yeah, there's been a lot of almost perfect crimes. There's lots of documented cases, all that stuff, but there's always something.
Yes.
You overlook something. And like this idiot, you thought, okay, I better, you know, check the pliers, put the pliers in, you know, clean up. Shit, I left some hair.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I don't know what exactly. I guess that was, I don't know what was that was pulling rope into, I don't know what that would be, but. Come on, man.
The best thing for this guy, Scott Peterson, was his squeaky clean image.
Yeah.
Until it was discovered that he had this woman he was running around with.
Yep, and talking about forever love.
He acted weird on camera. People felt like he was a good dude.
Yeah, that's what I just don't understand that. Like, I understand some dudes and women and ladies don't want to have kids. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this girl is gorgeous, and what are you doing? Like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's so like, wild.
What's wrong with...
Now, that's some psychology we could talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for
it's,
real.
It's more of a conquer the world
That's exactly
thing.
What it is.
That's all it is.
Most of the time, people, you know, run around with people who are less than what they already have.
Yep. Yep, exactly. But... anyway, I guess we better wrap it up. What time? I don't even know. Midnight. Ooh. Damn.
It's time,
Christopher. I hate that shit, man. God almighty. We want to get another little overtime out. I don't know if we have a quick story or something. Do a 5 or 10 minute.
All right.
But I don't
let's
know
take a quick break.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, do us a favor. We'll, just in case, leave us some comments for Brenda, for like specific things on the case, and we'll see. I'll reach out and see. I can't guarantee anything.
No,
but that would be cool to go. We had a lot of specific things, and you know, I told you I was starting to do those videos on the those specific things that one guy covered that actually was helped produce some stuff in there. Maybe some of those detailed things, especially like the Bobby's computer stuff that people were kind of confused about, I think, and we'll bring up all that stuff. So leave some specific questions, and we'll see if we can get some clear answers. And all right, it's bedtime.
All right.
Damn it. All right.
We'll all right, see you.
Yeah, no, go ahead. You want to do that? I don't remember. What did we do before?
We fade to black.
We
That's right.
We fade to black. Do I still have the voice? I don't know. All right. We'll see you next time for episode 80?
Episode 80 next
time.
Holy
shit, we're getting close to our
That's
centennial.
Right. Jerry Rice.
All right, we'll let you go and let it fade to black.